Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and early next year, the New York Genome Center plans to start operating Sequencing DNA. It's a public-private venture using city money, philanthropies, with area institutions like Columbia University, Memorial Sloan Kettering, Mount Sinai, Rockefeller University, Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory, all collaborating to try to put New York City on the cutting edge of genomic science and high-tech employment. Nancy Kelly is the center's founding executive director, and she joins me now, along with Thomas Maniatis, the chair of biochemistry and molecular biophysics at the Columbia University Medical Center, who spearheaded the effort to bring the center into being. Welcome to WNYC, Nancy Kelly and Professor Maniatis. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
So what's the easiest way for our listeners who are thinking, what? It's a what? To describe what will happen, Nancy, at the Genome Center. It's a research facility and a clinic?
Actually, it is a research facility, but not a clinic. So we will become one of the largest sequencing and bioinformatics facilities in the country. And that will be supported by our own internal researchers as well as joint research appointments throughout the city. And we will also have training programs to help both researchers and physicians understand how this new technology can affect their work.
And you're still raising money for the venture, I understand. So what actually happens come February? What part of the business, if business is the right word for it, is starting then?
I would call it service. And we will be offering sequencing and bioinformatics services beginning in February or March.
And what does that mean, Professor?
Well, that means that a technology that has grown enormously in the past few years will now be accessible to the academic and medical community in New York. This has been lacking in the past, and it is clearly going to impact both on medicine and science in a profound way. And we'll now have the infrastructure to be able to work together to pursue the scientific and medical goals.
Scientifically speaking, how much of a leap of faith is it to launch a center built around genomics? Last year on the show, we talked about the 10th anniversary of the first mapping of a human genome. And the story seemed to be that things were more complicated than scientists originally thought. And genomic – am I saying the name right, by the way? Genomic or genomic?
Genomic.
Genomic,
yes.
Forgive me. Genomic medicine really wasn't leading to cures.
Well, you know, I think that was due in part to probably overemphasis by some of the early scientists of projecting progress that was really unrealistic. But there are numerous examples now in which this technology is impacting on disease. And as you probably saw in the New York Times 2 days ago, there was an article on the glut of DNA sequence information. And what that indicated is that the real, limiting step here is the analysis of that data. And this is going to be one of the major issues at the Genome Center. It's going to be where the emphasis is placed, and where we believe that as a consortium of 11 institutions, all of whom have bioinformatic programs, that we will be able to build the technology to really mine the data for the medical breakthroughs.
What are the implications for employment in New York, Nancy?
Enormous, actually. So for a long time, the city has been focusing on building up the life sciences sector in New York City, and it's still lagging somewhat behind other areas of the country in terms of life science clusters. And this will bring not only new kinds of jobs in terms of the sequencing, but also real scientific and engineering jobs in applied computational biology for physicists, for mathematicians, and that will be the bulk of the new employment at the center. But there'll be multiplier effects, so there'll be a lot of indirect jobs that are also created, and so this could mean thousands of new applied sciences jobs in New York City.
And why is it being structured as a massive public-private venture with city money in there, philanthropies, which are obviously nonprofits, these not-for-profit area institutions, Columbia University, Memorial Sloan Kettering, Mount Sinai, Rockefeller University, Cold Spring Harbor Labs. In a way, many of these sort of compete with each other for patients and for research dollars. It's astounding that they're all working together on one thing. Are the startup costs for something like this just so great that they can't afford to do it on their own?
Well, that is one of the reasons that they came together in this collaboration, yes, to achieve the scale that is required to really operate on a national and global level, and to also avoid the risk of technological obsolescence, meaning that the sequencers become outdated and need to be refreshed completely. You really need to start with a certain scale, and you need to continue to make that capital investment over time. And so not any one of the institutions could do this alone, and that's one of the reasons that they came together.
Why isn't this, Professor, in the private sector? And I understand, is it accurate to call you both an academic and an entrepreneur?
Yes, it is.
Why isn't there enough VC money, venture capital money in this? If this is where the new pharmaceuticals and diagnostics, preventive diagnostics, are going to come from, this genomic research, why the need for public investment? Why isn't private money running into this because it's in their self-interest?
Well, I think that the venture money is being directed there towards this industry. There are genomics companies, both in terms of services, you know, for doing the sequencing and data analysis. But it simply does not have the size or strength to service the community. And in New York, I don't think there's any other way that we can achieve quickly creating the infrastructure, both intellectual and machine-wise, to accomplish this in the private sector.
There are also a number of public benefits that are being created by the center. So this is not just about sequencing and bioinformatics. It's about creating an intellectual community in which scientists and physicians in New York can collaborate with each other to develop new diagnostics and therapeutics. That does not happen in venture-backed sequencing companies. We also have invited in private sector participants, such as the pharmaceutical companies and technology companies, that can really help to create the intellectual ferment and creativity to allow this new innovations to happen. And that's a very, very important element, which venture capital funds don't necessarily back those kinds of activities.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, we're previewing the planned opening in February of the brand new New York Genome Center with Nancy Kelly, the center's founding executive director, and Thomas Maniatis, the chair of biochemistry and molecular biophysics at the Columbia University Medical Center, who spearheaded the effort to bring this center into being with this massive collaboration between Columbia, Sloan Kettering, Mount Sinai, Rockefeller University, Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory, and others. And Nancy, you're talking about the economics of it. I understand you're a specialist in life science real estate development. And people will think, gosh, there's a merging of two fields I never thought I'd hear in the same breath, life sciences and real estate. So what are the particular issues presented by life sciences that they create their own specialty in real estate?
Life science real estate is actually a highly specialized product. And it's very expensive. And it's specialized because it requires certain types of mechanical support and systems that aren't not present in regular office real estate.
Listeners, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Scientists, tech entrepreneurs listening, do you think New York City can compete with, say, Boston and Silicon Valley to be the Genome Research Center of the United States? 212-433-9692. Anyone else? Dan in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I like to joke to say that when Jesus found out that a bunch of guys were discovering what the DNA is like, he decided that to show him he was smarter, he sprinkled the DNA with proteins. And now we have epigenetics, which makes the whole issue a hell of a lot more complicated. So much so that we really cannot predict the acetylations and methylations that go on, and therefore cannot really medically and pharmacologically work the DNA the way we had hoped to until very recently. And I wondered, how much is that changing, because these nuclear proteins are no longer the targets of the pharmaceutical companies, but rather the signaling system from the cellular outside to the cellular nucleus, and not from the nucleus on.
Dan, thank you. Professor, could you translate that into lay terms?
Yes, he's talking about an emerging field called epigenetics, in which the assembly of proteins on DNA affects how the genetic information is read out. And in fact, there are numerous companies now, several companies that are focusing on this area and developing drugs that inhibit or activate the proteins that modify these DNA binding proteins. And so it's there was an interesting paper in Nature recently, in fact, out of Cold Spring Harbor, which described the use of chemicals to change a cancer cell. So the combination of the genetic material and these proteins has led to even more opportunities for intervention in disease.
Danny in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hello, Danny.
Yes, hi. I am a biologist, and I was wondering if you guys are going to be hiring anytime soon and what kind of positions you're going to be looking to fill.
Let's get right down to the nuts and bolts here, Nancy. Where do biologists apply?
Please send us your information. We have a website where you can submit it. It's jobs@nygenome.org. We are actively evaluating all of the credentials that we are getting in.
Great. And the city also has a competition going, as you know, for a science engineering complex. People say Stanford and Cornell are the leading competitors. Who's our competition in this? Is it Silicon Valley in Boston? Is there room for everyone? Are you sort of competing with this Stanford or Cornell or whatever it is, engineering campus that's going to come here? Or are you part of a new, science tech district forming in New York?
We actually see ourselves as very complementary to the Applied Sciences Initiative that's being conducted by the mayor. And in fact, we submitted our own proposal to the city. And so they're focusing on the larger players, and we hope to collaborate with them. But we also think that there will be a lot of technological development and spin-off activity from what we're doing over time, and that this could very well create a Cambridge-like place within the city that would be a very exciting place to be.
Is that your vision too, Professor?
Oh, yes. And you know, we don't see this really as competitive in the sense that you've mentioned. It really is complementary to the efforts in Boston and other places. And in fact, we interact very closely with people there. They've been very supportive. And this is really an effort to get New York going in this arena. Of course, in the end, it may emerge as the world leader. But I think the focus right now is to really service the New York scientific community.
Where's the Genome Center going to be?
We have not made a final determination. We are in active evaluation of a few sites left in Manhattan, and we'll be making a decision in the next couple of weeks.
Huh. And you did work also on what's known as the East River Science Park, which is what, a private science-oriented real estate development?
That also was a public-private partnership between Alexandria Real Estate Equities and the city.
And what happens there today?
There is one tower that's been built, and it is available for lease. I believe it's fully leased. It's available for lease for life science companies.
All right. And again, you want to give your contact information for anybody who either wants to apply for work or just wants more information?
Take a look at www.nygenome.org.
One of the very exciting things coming to New York next year. Who knows? Perhaps as Wall Street jobs diminish in number, the tech sector is going to take its place, and we certainly hope so. A bid for the future of science and jobs in New York from the New York Genome Center, and we thank Nancy Kelly and Thomas Martiotis. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC.